California conservative, a libertarian, a moderate Democrat, believe in common sense, or just a sane person, this is the political podcast for you. It's the California Underground Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I'm your host, Phil, and as always, with me, my trusty co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West, Camille. And tonight, we have a very special guest, Sonia Shaw, who is the president of the Chino Valley Unified School Board. Did I get that correct, Sonia?
Absolutely, got it.
Excellent. Sonia, welcome to the show tonight. Why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are and what you're doing?
Yeah. Thank you for having me, first of all. I appreciate you guys. And me, I'm a mom who saw our kids in direct harm, and I decided to do something that I never even imagined because I didn't even know what school board was. And I kind of threw myself in the fight alongside some parents. And now I am the school board president at Chino Valley. And we are definitely trying to make sure we push back on what I call them the political cartel in Sacramento is doing and what they have been doing to our children. I have two beautiful teenage daughters who sometimes challenge me more than the school board. I'm just kidding. They're great. And then two dogs and an amazing husband. So it's kind of me in a nutshell.
So, let's just jump right into it, because we were talking about pre-show about this LA Times profile. So real quick, which one are you? Are you, as the LA Times put it, a devoted mother or a small town bigot? Because that's what they said in the LA Times. Which one
Absolutely
would you go with?
Absolutely a devoted mother and nothing but a devoted mother. Small town bigot. I honestly had to look up what a bigot was when people started calling me that alongside a bunch of other names. So definitely just a devoted mother with a lot of heart to do what's right for our children.
Tell us, you said you had a story that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He'll come back.
Okay. you and I are moving.
Yeah.
Did I come back?
So we lost. Yeah, you're back.
Okay. I was going to say, you told us you had an interesting story.
Not.
About the
hey,
LA
at least
Times.
I know it's not my internet.
This tends to only happen at the beginning. So
did I come back?
We lost you again.
Oh, why is it doing this now? Tell me when I come back. Am I back? Hello.
You're back for now.
Okay. I'll get this question off so you can answer and hopefully I can figure it out. You said you had a funny story about this LA Times article. Go.
So a few months ago, I was approached by the person who wrote it, and she said, I would like to do a profile on you. And first, I wanted to make sure it was like legit. You know, she was an absolute writer for LA Times. Second, when I did tell some close friends, they're like, what the heck? Why are you doing anything with LA Times? When I said, yeah, I'll do it. I don't care, you know, because my thing is like, regardless of the way the media tries to spin us moms and dads in the fight, I was like, as long as our voice is in there and we get a fair chance, who cares, right? No idea what a profile was, no idea what was going to be made. She gave me a couple examples, which were nowhere near, in my defense, what she wrote about me. But I already knew what I was getting myself into. Let's be real. Did I know it was going to be like that? No. But the funny part is, after she kind of spent a lot of time with me, coming to board meetings, following me to different things that I've been doing with our school district, I actually saw her on social media take a huge hit from people who are, you know, the lovers of LA Times and the followers and the supporters. And New Republic or something came back with an article and pretty much said, we did what you should have done to the person who wrote it, because they were pissed off that she supposedly let me off too easily. And if you actually dig into it, it's really sad you have to be even portrayed as two different, you know, major differently things in an article. And I don't even think what we're doing is controversial or should be, but that's just my opinion. But the very fact that she got heat from the left, and the left is the one that supports the LA Times, actually made my heart kind of hurt for her, because I'm like, well, maybe she was really nice because she, I don't know. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she found we're not these big bad wolves that everyone's making us out to be. That's where my heart's coming from, you know? And I'm like, I feel bad because they're out to do a job, and their job can be dirty, and I'm not supporting any of them by any means, but I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. It brought a lot of people, I think, on both sides, awareness to some things that were going on. And if I have to be the villain to do the right thing for the kids, oh, well, call me whatever you want. I've been called worse, right? That's the way I see it. I'm not crying over it.
So I have to say, because obviously I've met you in person, you're really nice. You're like a very friendly, down-to-earth person, but I love that, because I've watched several of the school board meetings. You're like, to everybody, you're like, order in the room or I will clear the room, and I've done it before, so you know I'll do it again. And you're like, out, like, to anybody. Like, you're not. Besides, it's like, you're being disrespectful, you're being disorderly, out.
No, and you know, it's funny you bring that up, because one of our heated board meetings, the people that supported the policy I was bringing forward, there were some of them, I literally gave the eyeball, like I was about to say something, and they're like, I'm out, sorry. And they would remove themselves, and I'd be like, well, you know, I'm running a public meeting. I'm very fair when it comes to these things, right? And I call order, and we have to have order to make hard decisions, right? I get it. Everybody gets emotional. I was the parent that stood up and probably wasn't orderful, but I was allowed to do that. I make up words, by the way. So sorry when I say orderful. It's something they like to make fun of me too, because they say I'm uneducated, and I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, maybe I'm hope for other kids to know that one day they can grow up and supposedly make a difference for our kids. Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, I do try to make it fair and run an orderly meeting. I've been to meetings that, you know, like I have supported the board members of, and I look at the people fighting alongside me who have become really close friends, and I'm like, you know, you'd be kicked out of our meeting. And they're like, yes, we would. I'm all quiet while they do their business. But I guess that's just the mom in me. I don't know.
Which I want to bring up. Sorry, Phil, I'm just like taking over.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Just go for it. Tony. I guess I lost my host privileges because I froze too many times. So.
Sorry, Phil.
I'm just along for the ride now.
The California Superintendent of Public Education, is that the correct title? Tony Thurman. He came to your meeting.
Yes, he did.
Tell us about that.
Imagine that. We finally got his attention. We've been begging him for what, 3 years prior? Help us with this. Hey, can we help you with this? Can we provide solutions? And then bam, we do something he doesn't like, and the king comes off of his throne to come try to tell us what to do. And oh, I want to work with you. Oh, you do? Then why didn't you use the last 4 weeks to approach me and try to work on something, right? You came to do something, and we all know what you were going to do. And I'm sorry. Like, I gave him, just like anybody else, while he used our taxpayer dollars, I'm sure, I gave him the same opportunity. He got 1 minute. He tried to speak over. I actually, to be quite fair, I did allow him front row seating because, you know, he's a dignitary or whatever, which they don't do that when we go to Sacramento and testify for a bill. Actually, they treat us more like crap than anything. But I also gave him the first speaker card, which you don't have to do. So in all fairness, I gave him a lot, and he sat on his seat disrupting the meeting multiple times before I said what I said. And I'm like, dude, you just can't handle yourself. So I'm going to make it known that you are who you are, and people are going to realize what you are. So yeah, that was interesting.
Did you kick him out?
I didn't kick him out. Okay. In all fairness, the way he lied about what happened, actually, in my defense and everybody else's defense that he tried to spin and say we were some crazy people, it worked against him because people were like praising me for kicking him out. And I'm like, hold on, I didn't actually kick him out. What I said is you need to have a seat after I told him the reason I thanked him for being there, because let's be real, we've been trying to get his attention for many years as parents, right? And then he comes and tries to throw his little, you know, political parts, suave moves in there. And I'm like, but you are the reason why we're in these positions. He is. And I won't back down from that. And I did tell him that in front of everybody. And he tried to demand a point of order. And I said, you're not going to get a point of order in here, and you may have a seat. He didn't want to take a seat. The security guards, which he called armed police officers or whatever he did on TV. I'm glad that he looks at our security guards with that authority, because we do have great security, mind you, and they're very professional. But they approached him and said, you have to have a seat. little back and forth went between them. And instead of having a seat, he decided to leave and go into one of our classrooms to go spin his media and do his press release. Mm-hmm. So in all fairness, I technically never kicked him out. But I also wasn't going to sit there and let him dictate our meeting and try to take over and bully us. I mean, how many times have we seen in this past, you know, many years of all of us fighting, these people try to dictate and scare and bully us? Just a few weeks prior, we got a threatening letter from him about removing materials from the classroom or the books or whatever. You're going to be fined and this and that and the other. And I'm like, I'm sorry, your tactics are not going to work on everybody. They may have worked in the past, but they're not going to work on us. So, yes.
So I want to back up a little bit. So we're talking a lot about the LA Times, Tony Thurman comes down. Well, let's talk about the meat of like why you're sort of at the center of all this controversy, which is this parental notification policy that is making its way through school boards. And what your role was that, or were you the first one to do this and put this forward, or did you follow somebody, or when, how did that start?
So very interesting. As a parent, when I actually started getting involved, it was during the shutdown, right? And it was when the kids were, you know, being masked longer than the whole world and the possibility of COVID vaccines. I can't even talk. The COVID vaccine mandates were coming and they were talking about those. And that's kind of when I started to get involved. I started to, as other parents, follow these bills in Sacramento, which I come to find out, you know, later when I met Camille, she was already involved in a lot of following those bills in Sacramento. But let's be real, a lot of us parents had no clue. We started following those things. We started attending school board meetings, which in my defense, I didn't even know what a school, well, I wouldn't say defense, but I didn't even know what a school board meeting was back then. People said, oh, you should go talk to the school board. They'll listen, or they should listen. And we went, and then we found out we actually elect them, which I wasn't really involved at that, you know, level. But then we realized quickly they would blame Sacramento, or they would be part of working with Sacramento. And with following the bills, AB 1314, when I became a school board member and I became the president in January, I was still following bills. And I saw AB 1314 from Assemblyman Bill Aselli. And I said, as a school district, because we used to ask our school board, please write a resolution. And it was usually always against some of these bad, disgusting, horrible, awful bills that we viewed, you know, that were coming down from Sacramento. I decided I wanted to bring a resolution saying we support AB 1314 because this is one we can be on offense with. And I believed in it because I did see parents being pushed out. I did see that agenda being pushed by, I call them, the political cartel in Sacramento. And I brought it forward and it passed for us to support it as a school district. So we would make a stand and follow it through the bill process in Sacramento. We would write support letters for AB 1314. We can attend hearings. We made that agreement as a school board, right? Well, Bill Aselli came to our meeting and he said, I have good news, bad news. Bad news is, didn't get a hearing and it died. Good news is, guess what? You can make a policy. And I'm like, wait, we are school board members. Why wouldn't we make this a policy? This is the blessing, right? So quickly, a coalition was formed of different leaders throughout, you know, in different groups. And through that coalition, come to find out, Aaron Friday is the one that proposed a similar bill to Bill Aselli, and he's the one that picked it up. And with that said, the coalition, I have this deal with our superintendent still that we had a no, quote unquote, look at how funny this is, a no secrets policy. I'm a parent. He's a superintendent. I would never spring anything upon him without him being aware of it so he can prepare our staff. And I said, Dr. Enfield, I'm working on a policy with the coalition to actually, remember the AB 1314? Well, we're going to make it a policy. And quickly, I was, he responded with, oh, that's against the law, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, told him to give me the law. And after weeks and weeks of him saying from legal, he's still waiting for the law to be supplied. He finally came back and said, Mrs. Shaw, there is no law that it would be breaking. And I'm like, ding, 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 good job. Because guess what? We're ready to bring the policy forward. Because I wanted to wait till school was over, in all fairness, so that way we can bring it forward. Hopefully it would pass, train our staff, and then implement it in the new school year. And that's kind of how it went. We were the first ones, but it was honestly with good intent to bring awareness to something that was happening. And I don't know if you guys followed like Jessica Tapia and all those things, those forced pronoun policies, our school district still had never adopted. And when I became, we were fighting against our last school board, our previous, I know I'm talking a lot, but our previous majority to not adopt those policies because we're like, you're going to get us into legal trouble. And this is considered or could be considered compelled speech to some people who don't believe, you know, in this religiously or for whatever reason. Well, apparently the school board president at that time pulled it with supposedly the knowledge of knowing when she retained her seat after the election, she was going to bring it back. When I got in, our superintendent was telling me he needed to bring that back because it was the law. Again, I went through the same circle with him before the policy. And finally, he told me he couldn't supply a law that this, we had to bring that policy forward. So we continue to see a trend in Sacramento in regards to these things. It wasn't like you just made up these issues. These are actually current issues that are happening. And they're things that you see happening in school districts, right? And the fact that we're being sued by Bonta and we're being like tortured and with all these investigations, you know, from the Department of Ed and Bonta and, you know, everybody else you can think of, just goes to show you how much they want to exit parents out. And I think the great thing about some people who are new in this fight is, and I could speak for myself, I'm not here for any other reason to make a difference. And I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to protect what I know the children are up against. And that's, I mean, if you can't be any more clear a day, we have criminals walking free, but you have Bonta suing a school district for wanting to tell parents something so important about their child. What does that tell anybody? I just find it mind blowing that I'm some crazy bigot, white Christian nationalist, extremist. What did Bonta call us? Like dangerous parents or something, for wanting to inform parents of something so needed to be able to tell the parents. How much stuff does the school find out that we tell parents about, but we pick and choose? It's just weird.
Yeah, we actually had Jessica Tapia on, so we were lucky enough to have her on and talk about it. And again, when the pre-show, I was talking about how this is becoming a trend. And I think this is a red line in the sand for a mm-hmm. lot of parents. I think it's an issue that, you know, you're doing a great job raising a lot the alarm bells. You're doing a great job raising noise and getting people to pay attention to this. Because I think deep down, when it comes down to it, yeah, California skews very, very left and very blue. But I think when it comes down to it, you can ask some dyed-in-the-wool blue Democrats and ask them these issues of, hey, do you want your public school to keep secrets from you about your children? I bet 9 times out of 10, a lot of those people would say, no, I want to know what's going on with my kids at school. So I think this is an interesting issue that's happening in California. Are you seeing that this kind of reaches farther to other people, not just the right or in the middle?
So Phil, I'm very glad you brought that up, first of all, because I really think they want to label us as Christian nationalist or, you know, MAGA or whatever, extremist, right wing, all these names I've been called, because then that silences our voice to the common sense to everyone. I could tell you, even through the Rasmussen poll, which usually pulls more Democrats into their polls, it was overwhelming response that parents want to be notified, but they want to divide us. It's clear they want to label us and divide us. Look at the LA Times thing. Look at any other big old article that have come after moms and parents like myself. They're putting labels on you. Why? To silence you, to shut you up. But I will tell you this, there is hope, because I work alongside many different parents, parents who have no faith, parents of different faith, parents that, you know, go affiliate with one, party, and parents who have no party affiliation. That's the thing. We all find common ground in every single policy that I've been doing, and most of everything that I've been doing, we have found common ground that this is a bigger fight. I think the more we unite in California and the more just normal day-to-day people become aware, we definitely have a chance to win this fight. We just have to ignore what they're trying to do, which is clearly divide us. I will tell you, as a mom, as a parent, and as somebody newly who ran a campaign, you get these sheets and it tells you how people vote. Mind you, school board is supposed to be nonpartisan, but we know that people try to divide you, right? For a reason. But you will see it's called lib or Democrat. those were honestly some of the most welcoming homes I knocked doors on, giving me hugs, telling me thank you for fighting for our kids for this many years. And that was refreshing. And that gave me hope to know, regardless of what they label you as, we all have common ground when it comes to our children. I got into the political fight, or whatever people want to call it, because of our children, because it stuff started hitting in our own living room and it slapped me in the face. And I was like, what the heck is going on? I can either complain about it or I could try to do something about it, right? And that's exactly what you're seeing. And I love the fact that despite the big media, you can see on the ground and in my position that people are uniting despite it. And that will seriously fuel me every single day to give me the hope that, you know, our kids have hope. There is hope. Label us. We're blue. But when it comes to our kids, we are very, very protective of our kids, no matter what party line. And I think that's amazing.
I mean, we just had Bill Saley on a couple weeks ago, and it's his belief that he doesn't understand why Republicans aren't pushing this parental rights issue more. Because I think if you're going to make any sort of headway in California politically, I mean, again, this is just sort of a broad, like we're just saying, this is a commonality. People, it doesn't really matter, Democrat, Republican, or independent. People are protective of their kids. Parents are protective of their kids. But it is something that I think if you're going to make a dent in California politics, which looks like people think you can never make a dent in California politics, this might be the issue. This might be the issue that kind of starts to wake some people up. Like, what is Sacramento doing? Why is Rob Bonta suing this school district? Why does Tony Thurmond care about this school district? Why is Gavin Newsom stomping his feet over this? Like, so, you know, I think it does have that also that bigger ability to kind of maybe get some people thinking, maybe get the juices flowing in their brain of like, is Sacramento really looking out for my best interest and for my kids' best interest? What do you think?
Well, he obviously sees, and he's in a different, this is what I found in my position too. Like, as a parent, you see a certain amount of things on the surface. When you get into the fight, when you're inside, you know, even as a board member, I could speak to you this way, you see a whole different world. So if he's saying that because he's seeing some stuff on the inside, then he's probably trying to release some frustration that, hey, why isn't my own brothers up there, or sisters up there fighting the good fight for our kids? I don't know. I can't tell you because I'm not up there, but I could say internally, I see the same thing. I mean, I've seen people who are Republicans or conservatives and they've come in and attacked me. I mean, and it's like, okay, you attack me for wanting parental rights. Why aren't we standing up together? This is weird. But I do think, here's what I will say, especially with some races up in our own community, who I think the Dems always labeled as a Dem seat. The biggest threat to them right now is somebody who is a Republican running on parental rights. So what you said clearly gives them the shivers, right? Because I even heard about school board. People like me were being talked about up in DC and big think tank things, we need to make sure that those parents don't get in. Well, the same thing as them. We need to make sure those parental right parents who are running for assembly and Senate don't get in. They're not worried about the other Dem or the other, you know, liberal person. They're worried about the conservative because they're running on parental rights. I do say that is, to me as a parent, if I knew that Republican is now running and he's running on parental rights, he's got my vote over the one that has been a Republican over for the last 30 years, and I haven't seen him do anything for our kids. Now, I will say there is some great Republican representatives that I've seen fight the good fight up there. They just didn't have the majority, right? But I think, in all honesty, what we need is a balance. You need a balance up there. There is no balance. There's a super freak majority, so there is no good conversations. There's just people who have the power, and they've been doing what they want to do. And I think people like us, as normal day-to-day people who are rising up and running for these seats, who we never thought we were because we were not, you know, going to school to be, you know, political activists or anything, or just not in the fight as long, I think we do pose the biggest threat. And I think if people start to realize that, we will win more seats in this next election. But they need to make sure that they stay with it and they do the right thing when you get in that seat, because it is very easy to back off the fire because it does get hot and it gets pretty tense, and you have to have people right now. These are not the kumbaya, I call them, like, let's make friends, buddy, buddy with this person. No, you need people who are going to go in there. And what I've seen Bill Aselli do and shake things up and bring awareness. You have to. And all in the same token, you do have to have a balance of things. I don't know. I'm always, maybe it's my health background and being a trainer, and you just need to have a balance of things, right? Mm-hmm. And healthy balance, but yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say it sends shivers up their spines. It's going all the way up the ladder. I'm not someone who's very big into conspiracies and whatever. I'm not someone who pushes like Pizzagate or whatever. That's not our show. Camille will back me up on that. We're very skeptical about a lot of things, and we kind of try and think through things logically.
Critical thinkers, but, like those.
What's that?
Being a critical thinker. That's what we. Yeah. No, that's what I was taught in school. I think that's the biggest skill I acquired in school was critical thinking.
Yeah. That's what we try and do is we try and tell people, and sometimes we get backlash. Sometimes we try and tell people like, yeah, maybe you want to think this thing through. That's not exactly how you see it. But when you kind of think about it this way and you go, why are they scared of politicians or school board members who want to protect the parental rights? And you keep racking your head. Okay, well, maybe there's a logical solution, or maybe there's an argument. Maybe they have some good reason. And then you just kind of keep going through it over in your head and you go, I can't think of one. Like, why are you so obsessed with getting the state via public schools to step in and drive a wedge between parents and kids? And I think that might be the most telling thing and terrifying thing is wondering, why do politicians in Sacramento just care about putting this wedge between parents and children?
I agree. But I also think if you make people dependent on the system and just trusting on the system without challenging it, I think you have control. And honestly, coming from the outside in with somebody who hasn't been in politics a long time, I think it's a control thing. They want control. And I really, truly think if they get control of the youth, they have control of the future, right? And we see a lot of things that when the shutdown happened were revealed. That's when people like myself had got involved, because we were revealed to certain things, conspiracy or not, you can call it what it was. But certain things were right there in front of us, and we had an option. We either could see what's in front of us, or we can turn our eye and pretend like we didn't. But I really think it comes down to control. If they have our youth, they have control. Think about it. And we see it the same thing with our system. If you have control and you have people dependent on the system without giving them the tools to become productive adults, it goes with anything, right? Down to anything on any surface. I mean, if you don't give them the tools to start doing things for themselves, but you just keep feeding, that's control. They're not going to bite the hand, right? Like, I could tell you one thing. My dad comes from another country, and his family was in a genocide. They were being killed. They fought back. His brother was assassinated. My uncle and my dad joined the military for the U.S., came over. The family came over. Now, here's people who fought, right? But then they come over to the U.S. and my dad is, hush, hush, don't say anything, Sonia, right? You don't want to cause noise. You don't want them to do this. You don't need to give them control. You're coming from another situation, which I'm very proud of you, but at the same token, we don't need to give him that kind of control. You should say something. And I'm not saying my dad was wrong. I mean, obviously he came from a very, traumatic experience. But what I'm saying is it does show me you have control of people by certain things. They're scared, fear. That's where they win. They could do whatever the heck they want. And our youth is the target. Whether it's conspiracy or not, I see it. Why is it you see school boards challenging more than anybody, anything right now? That's local control. But you see Sacramento dump a big focus on stopping local control. Why? They never did that before. Because they had control of them. They had people invested in these positions so they can have control. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist or whatever you want to call it. I'm a realist. I really think I'm a realist, but at least that's what I consider myself. But when you see, like in my case, the campaign that the person I ran against, 30,000 or 26,000 or whatever the exact number, somewhere in between 26 and 30 from a union, local union, dump that money into it. And then their own, this is all campaign visible funds to the public. And then you see White House employees, you see Washington, you see attorney generals from around the United States dump money into a school board member's campaign. And you see Thurman talk about it to the unions that we know this election here in Chino is important. And he comes and door knocks against the parents who've been asking him for help. What does that tell you? You don't need no conspiracy to theory to think that they have a grasp and they didn't want to lose control, right? I mean, how else do you explain that? Why in the world would White House employees and attorney generals from around the United States dump money into someone's school board campaign unless you want control? That's just the way I saw it.
I mean, Murray Rothbard talked about in Anatomy of the State. Shout out Murray Rothbard, Anatomy of the State. Everyone should read it. He had a whole chapter on why is public education, why is the state obsessed with public education? And you nailed it, which is it controls the youth. It controls them in the sense that the state can give them their lesson plans. They can give them the education that they want you to know. And you can grow up to be good little state loyal citizens that you'll just salute the state. And I think you're right on that. This freaks out the powers that be, because if things start cracking in public schools, and there's already a wave of school choice going on across the country, if they lose the youth in public schools, then they lose a lot. The state does, because then they can't push their own agendas. They can't push what they want them to think. They can't turn them into obedient little citizens. So I think you nailed it on the fact of control. One thing that I find interesting about this as well is California is such a big state. It's 40 million people, 58 counties. You're a duly elected school board member. People showed up. They pulled the lever for your name. They said, I want Sonia to be on the school board. You got on the school board and you started to enact policies that your voters ideally said, this is what I want you to go and do. So you did it, along with your other school board members. And now you have Sacramento coming down and say, nope, you can't do that. We're going to step all over you. We're going to sue you. We're going to use the entire power of Sacramento and the attorney general's office. And we're just going to try and smother you. To me, that's terrifying, because then what's the point? Why do we have a representative local government? Why do any of this? Why have school boards in the first place? Why have city councils? If Sacramento wants to control everything, then they're just going to control everything. So I think that's more of a knock on representative government. And that's scary to me that does anybody really have power to kind of step up in local politics, right?
Mm-hmm. I think when they do this, though, right now in the time that we're in, it's giving people an option. You either, again, see what it is and make sure that when we get to the polls, or if you've never been to the polls before, you get there, because it does make a difference. But they're used to having this control and this power, and they're relentless. I could tell you what you see on the surface is nothing compared to what's behind the scenes. Friday, we got another letter saying we're under an active investigation with the CDE, California Department of Ed, Tony Thurman's thing, right? They're citing an ed code, a couple ed codes that literally, if you look them up, they say they have a right to investigate us, right? Well, why are you investigating us? Because we enforced a policy that we passed back in June. That wasn't this policy. It was another policy. And they're upset about it. Okay, but what are you claiming? Are you claiming like we're discriminating, hate, what? So technically, the letter, if you look at it too, it just looks like it's going to be a long process. It's going to be a long investigation. And again, what are they doing? What are they doing? Trying to scare us, trying to tie us up. And honestly, I think they have been used to becoming this political machine pushing a leftist agenda, and they're pissed that someone's challenging it. And we have a majority of our school board that is going along with challenging it and standing strong. But I will tell you, it is not easy to stand in the gap when it comes to this. But I also, again, will find hope, because when they do these kinds of things, it's up to us to be transparent and give exposure to the community. And I think that's where people have an opportunity, right? Because mm-hmm. if they really truly saw all the investigations, the audits that were being put through, no district wants that. But also, why? Because we put through common sense policies. We didn't do anything. I don't think what we've done is really controversial. The fact that it's controversial is because the way they're reacting to us, I think. We're not doing anything illegal. But here you go again. They want to, behind the scenes, torture you. So you go, just kidding. It's hot. I'm done. You know, this is too much energy. This is too much time. And then guess what they do? They win. Right? They're used to that. Yeah. But I think for the first time, they have seen there's people all over California uniting, and they're not going to back down. So whether on the surface it looks like Chino, us parents for the last few years have decided it was going to be a big fight. We knew, but we were going to link up together. And that's what we did. It was beautiful the way it happened, but I also now see it was necessary, right? We knew as parents, before I became an elected official and the leader of a local, you know, grassroots organization, we weren't going to be anything if it was just Chino. We were going to be something if we were linking up all throughout California and bringing common sense knowledge and awareness to what we were fighting against.
Can you just say that one part again, that going to the polls does matter in local elections? Because I feel like we have a lot of followers who will tell us that that doesn't matter.
Absolutely does. Look, I told you, if you put money together, they spent over $150,000. They were running Fox 11 news commercials, mailers every single day. They were an incumbent. They were the president of the board. Most people still did not know on the surface what we were fighting for, because most people, let's be real, did not totally get involved. And I understand that. People are busy. They have a life. They're trying to make sure they get food on the table with the rising cost of food and stuff. And, you know, balancing if you're going to have a job today or tomorrow, or the economy is going to shut down. I totally understand that. But I think in elections, especially locally, you can make a difference. And I get people say, and you've seen nasty things happen and cheating happening. But if we just lay down and do nothing and not even try, you just pretty much surrendered. You gave the knee. But if you at least try, guess what? You can also bring awareness to the cheating, right? Get involved. Have another parent go watch them count the votes. Like, we have to get involved. You hear all the time, our party line's broken. Our party's this. Our party's doing that. Well, then you know what? Go run for those positions. Go be a delegate. Go be this. To me, I'm like, put yourself in there or don't say anything. Or support the ones that are willing to go do the work, right? Because definitely you have your fighters and you have your supporters, and you definitely need both to win the fight. You do. A good boxer isn't going to get in the ring without being trained, having people who are going to clean up the wounds. You have everything in place. Support the people willing to fight. Get to the polls. Go vote. At least you could say at the end of the day, we tried everything. They cheat, then you expose it. Be part of it, right? You cannot let them win. That's what they want. They want us to be and feel defeated. What they're doing to us locally, they want us to feel defeated. They want us to say, psych, just kidding, we're done. No, fight them.
And especially with local politics, I say this a lot and I'll say it forever. It matters. Local politics matters. And especially after COVID, everyone should realize local politics matters. It probably inspired a lot of people to get involved in school board. But look at the impact you have had as a school board member. Do people realize that just as a school board member, you've made this huge impact, you've started this conversation, you've started this debate over what parental rights should be in schools? So just getting that one person in elected office in local politics can change so much stuff. So I think that that message and that lesson needs to be screamed from the top of rooftops, to be like, yeah, get local politicians, get the grassroots in there. You can start changing things at the grassroots in the local level, right?
I absolutely agree with you. And I really think in my heart of hearts, seeing, especially with all the amazing parents, grandparents, people who have no kids that just believe in and supporting our family and the family unit, you see people who may not be the voice, but they're great at emails. They're great at editing. They're great at social media. I really, in my heart, Phil and Camille, Hey, that sounds actually really good, Phil and Camille. I don't know if you guys did that on purpose, but I really feel in my heart.
Change your names.
I really feel in my heart, everybody can help. You may have your loud voice, or you may have your good people that are strategy, you know, strategically smart behind the scenes, but everybody can do something. And like you just said too, if it's just showing up to the polls and making sure that you voted for the person that you think is the right person for the local elections, I really in my heart think that's where we're going to win things. And then we move up from there with our assembly and Senate seats. We're just going to have to find some really good people that are day-to-day people willing to fight the good fight to get into those. And I'm not saying some of our great elective officials that are conservative and Republican have fought the good fight. They need help, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them really just need some help up there, and we need to be able to make sure we do our part to get the people up there. I do have to say this, we have to stop the infighting. It's good to have healthy conversations, but to destroy and pull down your own, I think unless you're going to throw yourself in the fight, you're never ever going to see everything the person in that position is up against. And I think that's where the other side will always win, because they're willing to back up a darn cockroach and get behind that person. But we're all worried about, oh, Sonia wore the wrong clothes today. And I'm just using that as an example on the surface. But it's like, no, stop, guys. Like, get in there. Let's work together, and let's not take our focus off the bigger picture. In this case, I think parental rights and our children is somewhere where we can win and get some people up in Sacramento to balance things out, right? Let's do it. Let's get the help up there. Let's start having people bring common sense policies instead of always being in defense, because I think we're at that point where we definitely are in the start of offense. I really believe in my heart. It's just, we have to get past that point and know that we can win. And I think once we do that and we empower the day-to-day people who just care, and they are going to sit here in California and fight the good fight. I don't know. I still am very hopeful. My family's still here, obviously. And it's not saying it's not easy. I mean, we all see what happens. I will tell you this. 2 days ago, my kids are being videotaped and recorded at the supermarket. Now, if anybody has seen me in action, I'm a mama bear. I'm very protective of not just my children, but other children. It took everything in me to do the right thing and just... First of all, I told my kids, turn around so she could just get your back. And second of all, I'm like, the cashier's looking at me like, am I just seeing this? And I said, yeah. And I said it very loudly as I'm waiting for something to be priced, right? It was a thing of chicken. And she's still taking pictures of my kids, not even of me. And I'm over here like, what the freak is wrong with people? Like, now you're coming after my kids? Weird. But it also is a reminder of who they want. They don't want me. They just want to take me down, because what do they want? The freaking kids to begin with. I'm like, hello. But like I said, it's not easy, but if you have the support, it's definitely doable. And I think we definitely can win this as long as we keep banding together. And like I said, keep our eyes on what is really truly important, which is our children. And I think keeping families together, whatever that may be, if it's a single mom, single dad, whatever it may be, a full family with a mom and a father or grandparents taking care of the kids, I also see an attack on the family unit. And I see that from Sacramento. I mean, look at AB 665. They're trying to tear apart families there, right? And it's just absolutely insane with all these bills being brought down. There are attacks on children, there are attacks on family, and they're starting and they're implementing them at the educational level. What does that tell us? We either can sit there and fight, or we can turn around and just say, oh, whatever, here's my kids, I surrender, right?
Yeah, another important point to take away from this is local politics builds the bench that then goes to Sacramento. So everyone should keep that in mind, that, you know, when people are like, where are all the good politicians? It's like, well, they have to start somewhere. So whether it's city council or school board or somewhere, they start somewhere. Speaking of voters and elections, Protect the Kids California has some initiatives going to the ballot in 2024. Any thoughts on that, or support, or what's your take on that?
Absolutely support. That Erin Friday has poured her heart into this fight. She's out there working hard with this. We all need to get behind this. if this is going to truly happen, it's going to take the village. The village I was taught, not just everybody involved that cares, right? Because you can solve a lot of these issues by showing them, okay, silence us locally. But we, the people in California, are going to link together. We're going to stand out there and put signatures. We're going to take some sacrifices and put some money towards this good fight, right? And we're going to protect our children. These three initiatives are things that, you know, I ended up running on in my campaign with protecting the kids. I ended up facing some of these things here in the last few months. Our school board has faced it. Our school district has faced it. The school board members I am are facing the heat, and the other school board members across California that pass this are facing. But once and for all, if they want to tie us up and take us to court and Bonta wants to sue us, let it be loud and clear that we're going to get behind these initiatives, put them on the ballot and prayfully pass them and put them into law ourselves and show Sacramento, if you want to shut us up, then we're going to continue to find a way, because that's what I always say. Find a way, right? You know, working with law, and I've only been, you know, working in situations where there's law in regards to the policy lately, I've seen what they do. They find the gray, they work with the gray, and they push it. Okay, let's beat them at their own game. They've already told us. We've watched what they've done. And if we can't, like ballot harvesting, right? I'm not in favor of it, but because it's a law, let's take it and beat them at their own game. Why not? Until they make it illegal, because we beat them and they're pissed. I really think we have an opportunity to show them we're going to beat you at your own game. And Protect Kids California is absolutely people with heart in this fight who fought the good fight and are continuing to fight the good fight that we need to support. We need to get out there. We need to have all these parents that have been involved in the last few years gather the signatures and get what we need to get done and send Sacramento the message. You want to silence us? Try it, but not on our watch for our children.
And, just for clarification, what are those initiatives addressing?
So parental notification is one. Protecting girls' sports is another. And the third one, I don't know why I just drew a blank, but it was pretty much with whatever aligned with the policy, like when it comes to, mutilation. Sorry, I don't know why I drew a blank. Making sure, because Newsom declared us as a sanctuary state, and we're going to say until the child is now an adult at 18, we will not allow, you know, all these surgeries and medications to be allowed near the child. So it's those three things. I don't think that those should be controversial. Letting parents know, making sure kids are not, you know, having nasty surgeries that are life altering performed on them when they are children and they can't make that decision done, or taking medication. I think that's common sense, and protecting girls in sports. I mean, we see with Riley Gaines and we see with Sophia Lori, her story, we see how they want to silence all these female athletes. I'm a mother of two female athletes. I've told my kids, if you are on the field and you're supposed to be playing girls and a guy gets on the field, you take a stand. I know you work hard. I see the blood, sweat, and tears, but you also stand up for what you believe in. And it's really sad that our females are facing this. And the way that they're spinning it is hate, hate, hate. Well, I think you're hating on our female athletes. Where's the protection for them? You see girls getting knocked out, concussions, their college, you know, opportunities being robbed from them. I'm sorry. I've stood firm on that fight. Even when I was a school board member and the Title IX stuff came up, I think about a year ago when Biden was proposing the changes, I think it was a year ago. And I will tell you, it got ugly. People came after me for what? For standing up for our children? I absolutely believe we have a moral duty to stand up for our females. How long did our females fight for their rights? And we're going to sit here and just give it up and let our girls be exposed to danger and dangerous situations? So those are the three things that they have made part of the initiative.
Lastly, before we wrap up, there was another policy that you enacted, which involved school materials, correct, in the library?
Yeah. So
tell us a little bit about that.
We saw what Newsom did to 1078, you know, trying again to take local school board authority away and put it into the hands of the state. But I think sexually explicit material is non-negotiable. I don't care what part you stand on, what you think is right and wrong for kids. When it comes to sexually explicit and obscene material, we have a duty. to make sure that that is not accessible to children. And if there's something we can do to put safeguards in place, I feel that's what we need to do. You see these books, and honestly, you see them being read all over school boards, all over California, and you see nobody do anything about it. And then you see people like Karen England, who I have followed and seen what she has been doing in regards to bringing light to it, and then propose a common sense policy. They tell you, they show you what's in your own libraries. And yet we have school board members that say, oh, I'll take them out behind the scenes, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. Okay. What if someone plucks Sonia Shaw out or the other school board member out and I'm no longer there? What did you do to protect any kids in the future? You didn't enact any policy. You just thought you were going to go behind the scenes and do something. So when she proposed that to me, showed me the proof, showed all of our school board members what we had, people came and showed it, read it. I'm telling you, freaking the adults were like this, cringing. I was like, we got to do something. And so I took her model policy, I brought it to our superintendent, and I said, do you think that this would help alleviate and get rid of some of the stuff? I gave him full range to give me his recommendations, because that's what you do when you have a superintendent. Although the board is supervising over the superintendent directs and tells his staff what the direction is of the board. And I'm wholeheartedly believing that you need to be a team to make anything work, right? And you also need to bring awareness. So I brought that forward. He made some recommendations. We previously had another policy in place for like material if people found stuff. And because I feel like, again, sexually obscene material is non-negotiable, this was a common sense policy that allowed it not to go through a lengthy process of being challenged. It was very clear on what is appropriate, what is not. And thankfully, our school board passed it 3-2 and sent the message. And I can tell you right now, people inside our own district, our own staff, was very grateful for this, because they were now aware that some of the stuff had come in. A lot of them were embarrassed that it came in, or just felt bad. Like, why is this here? Right. We got a threatening letter from our local union. You get stuff being said by CTA, and you get legal letters asking to cease and desist from various groups. And then now you have Freedom From Religion challenging us and telling me that I need to remove the Bible. But I was warned prior when I brought this policy for the first reading. People in our community said, Shaw, we're going to make you ban the Bible. And I'm like, challenge it. Why not? Go ahead. You have every right. I'm not going to stop you from challenging it, but you have to prove that it's sexually obscene and it has to go through the same process. So follow the procedure, right? But it shows you that they want control. They want to bully you, and they want this freaking crap in the hands of kids. People used to be arrested for having these things in front of children. We used to find this a big deal. Where have we lost our minds that we think that, let me just go do it behind the scenes if it's exposed. Okay, what is that doing? Like, get the crap out of there now, right? Send the message and say, we're not going to allow that here. So that way, when I leave this district, or I'm voted out, or maybe I decide not to run in 3 more years, there's policies in place. And if the new school board comes in and they don't have any good intentions and they want to remove this, guess what they have to do in the public? Remove it in the public. Let them. That's what I say. Act policy. They enact law, right? Against us. We'll enact policy that is legal to fight against what they're doing. And they're mad. What does that show the public? They're okay with this.
Yeah.
And I, again, it was a gift because it brought awareness to a bigger fight that we're all facing in regards to our children.
It's a conversation that probably long overdue. And it's good that I think it's happening in California, because I think it's a good way to gauge people, the seriousness of how much they want to protect their kids. In wrapping up, this has been an incredible conversation.
Don't wrap up. Okay. Can't wrap up.
Camille's got another question.
Funny, not funny. Scott Wiener, actually, our favorite Scott Wiener, tweeted, I think, last week. So there was, I'm unclear of the circumstances, a teach-in in Oakland. They had some sort of something going on, and it turned out the curriculum was like encouraging violence on Jews. And Scott Wiener was posting about it, bringing awareness to the issue. And he didn't outright say book banning, but he was very against this particular curriculum. And I was like, isn't this interesting? Suddenly you don't want this, something that personally offends you, being taught in public schools.
see how that works, though.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how that turns out.
Yeah, no. And maybe that's an opportunity. I don't, honestly, if you want to ask me, I don't find any hope in that dude, but maybe it's an opportunity. I'm just going to be real.
Our favorite, like, he's definitely my least favorite.
We're fighting against up in there. He's like, you know, one of their favorites in that. But yeah, it's funny how when the tables turn, right? And, and they're like, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's absolutely insanity that I don't even think, honestly, I know we're wrapping up, but at the end of the day, I, in my heart, don't believe anything that has made a headline should have ever made a headline. It should have been common sense. Let's work together, broad awareness. Let's get this crap out. Let's do the right thing for our children. Let's protect the kids. But again, I think you guys maybe saw on social media floating around today that G.K. Charleston quote. Have you seen it?
I didn't see that.
No. A true soldier does not fight because he hates what is in front of him. He fights because he loves what's behind him. And to me, our children are worth the fight. And that's why we fight. We don't fight because we hate the Scott Wieners, or we dislike the Scott Wieners, or we dislike Thurmans or the political cartel. Are they gross? Did they bring awareness? Absolutely. But we fight because we love those kids. We absolutely believe in protecting them, and we will give up everything to make sure they have a future and their innocence is protected and we're doing the right thing for them. And I think at the end of the day, if we all can just keep that focus, our kids are not going to lose. 100%. Yeah. They will not lose.
So anyway, this has been an amazing conversation. I love your passion. And I'm glad there's a fighter like you out there who is taking this fight and bringing this awareness to people. So, where can people find and follow you, support you, all that stuff?
Well, I will have to admit, I'm very bad at social media, and my time is mostly spent on the ground and with my beautiful children. But I do have a social media account, and it's Sonia Shaw, and I think it's now changed to 2026 because I opened up my campaign for the next round for 2026. But it's on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. I kind of shut down most of my other ones only because of the threats that I was going through and all the things going through, the attacks that my family were facing. But my Instagram is probably the easiest way to follow me.
Right. So 2026, another round, you're going back into it.
I plan on doing whatever's right. And I will say this, wherever God calls me, I'll go for the fight. I mean, I've always, since I've gotten into this, been willing to take the blows that they throw and fight back. So I don't know where God has me in 2026. I will put my hat in the bin if that's where he wants. I have heard that they're going to try to recall me, but most importantly, we have three seats up this next election in 2024, and they're going to focus on dumping some big money into this to switch the majority and stop us and silence us. So I don't know where God has me. He can pluck me right out tomorrow, but I will stay here and fight the good fight as long as he allows me to.
Great. So thank you for coming on again, Sonia. We'll end this show as I end every single show, which is, if you like this episode, make sure you like, share, subscribe, review, add a comment. Helps with the algorithm. And the best way to support this show is to, and the best way that's free, is to share it with a friend. In this case, share it with parents who have kids in public schools. It's probably the most important, so they know about this. Yeah, that's basically it. So we'll see you on the next one. Have a good night, awesome. Everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of California Underground. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe, like, and review it. And follow California Underground on social media for updates as to when new episodes are available.